Me to the book of Ephesians. Tony, it's good to see you here. Lord bless you. And she just had a baby 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago. Lord bless you for being here. That's great. And the baby's name? Kiana. All right. And how much did it weigh?
813.
Big baby. We're glad that you're free. Amen. The last couple of weeks, she really looked like she was in a lot of misery. And so I know if I was in that condition, I'd be in a lot of misery. And I'm glad that I'm not. Amen. So praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter number 2 this morning. Ephesians chapter number 2. We're going to begin in verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Look at verse number 4. Would you everybody say the first two words with me? But God. But God. Something happened. When we were dead and when we were separated from God, when we were under the judgment of God, God stepped in and intervened. It says in verse number 4, but God, who is rich in what?
Mercy.
For his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 7. That in the ages to come. It's talking about the future. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. He's going to show to us the exceeding riches of his grace, all because of Jesus Christ. I don't know why, Brother Matt, but I'm buzzing up here. I guess I don't need this thing. He's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. And then those verses that we all know. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his, what?
Workmanship.
Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What has God created you for? Good works. We are his workmanship. We are the works of his hands. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. God has settled it already that we should walk therein. Amen. But I want you to notice what it says in verse number 7. That in the ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. The exceeding riches of his grace. Let's bow forward to prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today as we look at your word. I pray, Lord, you'd guide and direct. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in our midst today that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray, Lord, they come to the saving knowledge of Christ before it's eternally too late. Lord, I pray that you'd stir our hearts. Lord, help us to draw close to thee. Help us, Lord, to realize that without thee we can do nothing. I pray, Lord, that you'd just bless in a great way. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. This passage is probably one of my favorite passages of Scripture. A while back, Brother Don had the opportunity to get my Bible recovered. And as he was looking at it, he noticed that the Pauline epistles, especially the book of Ephesians, the pages are all turning brown and they are very thin. And because the oil in your skin, the pages are just starting to really fall apart. I love the book of Ephesians. I love the Pauline epistles. It's probably one of the most read passages of Scripture in my Bible. But when you come to chapter number 2, it really hits home with me. Not only is it one of my most favorite passages, it's probably one of the most profound passages. When you really stop and think about it, you'll find in the Scripture, verse number 1 through 10. In the past few months, as you know, my life has been very busy. My wife and I, we've both been to the hospital. We've both had surgeries. In the past year and a half, I've gone to the doctor and I've heard them say, "I'm sorry, you've got cancer," twice. Once with prostate cancer and then the other one with cancer of my upper eyelid. You know, when you stop and think about those things, it's easy to get down. During those times, you know, like all of us, finances have been tight. Relationships have been strained. The devil is just unrelenting. And I know that I'm not any different than you. And the devil's been attacking full force in so many people's lives. And with everything that's going on, you know what the flesh would like? The flesh would like to throw a pity party. The flesh would like to say, "Woe is me. Look at all these bad things happening. Why would God allow those things to happen to me? Why would he allow that to happen to you, preacher? After all, you're his servant, you're his preacher. Why would those things happen?" And my flesh would love to sit down and sulk for a while. It would love to focus on my poor estate. And yet when I think of this passage of Scripture, I am reminded that I am a recipient because of Jesus Christ and because of the salvation that he has given to me. I am a recipient of the exceeding riches of his grace. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if there's been a point in time in your life when you've repented of your sins and by faith trusted Christ, you also are a recipient of God's exceeding riches of his grace. This portion of Scripture keeps ringing in my heart over and over, and the Lord began teaching me something. He began reminding me, regardless of how down I am and regardless of how down I get, you know what? I am rich in Christ. Amen. Regardless of how poor I am and regardless if there are more bills than what there is in my checking account, listen, I am still rich in Christ. Regardless of how lonely I am and regardless if people think, you know, a lot of times people think nobody cares, nobody's out there for me. God tells me that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. This passage of Scripture reminds me of this. And if you're saved, let me remind you. You are rich in Christ. You might not have two nickels to rub together. But you are rich in Christ if you're saved. Many times the believer focuses on what they were before Christ. I hear people say, well, you know what? I used to be this and I used to be that. And now I'm saved. And their focus is more on the past than what it is on what we are right now. What are we? Redeemed. Amen. A fellow citizen of heaven. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Forgiven. Amen. I'm on my way to heaven. Regardless of what happens to my bank account, or regardless of what happens to my health, regardless of what happens to my friendships here in this world, I need to understand this. I am rich in Jesus Christ. You need to remind yourself of that. I am rich. Many times people focus on all of the hurt that they endure. Or maybe they focus on all the hurt that they caused before they were saved. Because they focus on what they were in the past instead of what they are now as a Christian, they never have victory. Well, I used to do this and I used to do that, and I just can't serve God. No. If you are saved, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Everything has become new. You've got a new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got a new citizenship. You've got a new eternity that you're going to face. I want you to notice several things about this passage. And as I bring this message, if you're jotting down notes, you ought to write down these three words. The rich life. How many of you watched the presidential camp or the debate? There was one particular individual there that he was very rich. I don't need to mention any names, but he was very rich, and he said, you know what? I'm not going to take any political money. Well, he doesn't need to. Amen. Matter of fact, he's bought most of the politicians. He even admitted to that. But you can have money and you can have riches in this world. That doesn't necessarily mean that you've got a rich life. I want you to notice verse number 1 through verse number 3. And in the margin of your Bible, you ought to write this. Life without Christ. Life without Christ. It says in verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Before you were saved, the Bible says you were dead. Spiritually dead. Life without Christ. Dead to the things of God, dead to righteousness, dead to biblical faith, dead to God's eternal blessings, dead to biblical salvation. Without Christ, dead. Many times I'll talk to people and they'll say, well, you know what? I just don't understand the Bible. And that's the way I was before I got saved. I remember before I got saved, I tried to pick up the Bible and read it. It made no sense. It really didn't. The more I read the Bible, the more confused I got. But now I pick up the Word of God and I read it, and it comes alive. It's real. This morning I woke up about 3 o'clock. My mind just racing. And I've been up ever since. I thought, well, I might as well get up. I can't go back to sleep. Somebody said that's the price you get with being old. I don't know. I thought I'm not that old yet, you know. And I've been thinking about this. The Bible talks about, and you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sin. Life without Christ. People are just dead. I'm sure that most of you have been to funerals. And I've watched as people go into funerals and they'll walk up to the casket and they start talking to that person. You know, that person, every time I've witnessed that, that person has never responded. You say, well, do you expect them to, Pastor? No, I don't expect them to. You say, why? Because they're dead. You see, a person that is dead does not respond. And a person that is dead spiritually does not respond to the things of God. They don't respond to biblical faith. Talk to a lost person about tithing. And they look at you like you've got an eye in the middle of your forehead. What are you talking about? Matter of fact, even some Christians look at you that way. But, you know, they say, what do you mean? You got to give it away in order to get. Well, that's what the Bible says. You see, people are dead to the things of God. Life without Christ. Dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. Verse number 2. Notice what it says. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Now, when it talks about you are walking, it's talking about your lifestyle. It's you walk places. You walk to get places. You walk to do things. We were out here working the other day, and John had something on his phone or something, and he says, Dad, he says, I can't believe it. I've walked 9.3 miles on doing construction the other day. Hey, you want a good weight loss program? Come out. I'll help you out. Amen. It works. Lived according to the course of this world. It's talking about our lifestyle. You know, I've seen the course that the world takes us. I really don't want any part of it. Amen. I've witnessed in my lifetime the course of those who've walked in the world. I remember when Elvis Presley died. I remember when Michael Jackson died. I remember when Kurt Cobain died. I remember so many rock and roll, quote, artists and Hollywood actors that walked according to the course of this world. It doesn't pay. For what should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Listen, you walk according to the course of this world. It is only going to end in tragedy. Look at verse 3. Now look at verse number 2. There's something else I want you to see. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You say, what's that mean, preacher? It means this. Jesus looked at the scribes and the Pharisees in John 8 and verse number 44. And he looked at them, and I can just visualize what he did. He pointed at them and said, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. He says, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Stop and think about that. Before a person is saved, their spiritual father is Satan. You say, well, how can that be? Because of the fall of Adam and Eve. Whereas by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Romans 5:12. You see, we've lived according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Life without Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 26 says that they may recover themselves from the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his own will. You ever come across people that just, they seem like they fall right back into the same sin day after day and week after week, and regardless of how hard they try to get away from it, they can't. You know what's happening? The devil is taking them captive at the devil's own will, or his own will. You know the solution for that? Life in Christ.
Amen.
Life in Christ. You are made alive in Jesus Christ. And the power is broken. I'll be talking about that tonight. About deliverance. You know, there are people today that need delivered.
Yeah.
I mean old-fashioned Holy Ghost deliverance from the power of sin and Satan. Verse number 2, it talks about they lived according to the devil, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In other words, the spirit that's now working in the lost people's lives. You wonder why the world is the way it is, and you wonder why our government is going the direction it's going and the decisions that they make. I'll tell you why. Because the devil is working in their lives. It is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I want you to notice also, in verse number 3, this is life without Christ, among whom also we all, what's that next three-letter word?
Had.
That's past tense. Amen?
He
is talking to Christians. He said, listen, you had your conversation. You had your lifestyle. You don't have it anymore. It says there in verse number 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Children of wrath? That means they were under the judgment of God. Before Christ, under the judgment of God. You say, well, preacher, I'm not saved. My life's going pretty good. Yeah, how's it going to be 100 years from now? Because 100 years from now, all of us are going to meet the Lord. Everybody in this room. You say, well, I'm planning on living longer than that. Sooner or later, you're going to meet the Lord. Amen? Either through the uppertaker or the undertaker. One of the two. I mean, life without Christ. Under the judgment of God. Look at verse number 4. What's those first two words again, everybody?
But God.
In other words, God stepped in and God intervened. Where would you be today if God had not intervened in your life? Where would you be today if He had not saved your soul? Where would you be today if Jesus Christ had not passed by and called out your name? I would dread to think about where I'd be today, or if I would be today. Notice life with Christ, verse 4. Verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened. The word quickened means to be made alive. I've been made alive in Jesus Christ. Made alive. Verse number 1. This life, first of all, is eternal life. In John chapter number 11, verse number 25 and 26, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she says, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. Listen, it is everlasting life. Not only is it an eternal life, an everlasting life, but it is a life with divine fellowship. If you've got your Bible, look there in Ephesians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 5. In Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 5 and verse number 6, it says, even, verse number 4, but God, who is rich in His mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Aren't you glad that God loved us? Amen. In spite of our sin, in spite of the things that we've done, in spite of the things that we're going to do, in spite of the things that all those things that just we won't even talk about. God still chose to love you, even when you were unlovable. Verse 5, even when we were what?
Dead
in sins. hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He raised us up and made us sit together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. You know what that's talking about? Brother Don, that's talking about divine fellowship. Now that I have life in Jesus Christ upon salvation, I have divine fellowship. I remember as a kid, my mom and my grandma always singing hymns around the house. And one of the, I remember grandma and mom both, they would sing in the garden. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. We've all heard the song. Life with Christ is divine fellowship. When we wake up in the morning, he speaks to us. When we go throughout the day, he walks with us. He speaks to our heart. He reminds us of his word. We lay down at night. He bids us good night. Divine fellowship. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Not only divine fellowship, but we have divine enlightenment. In Ephesians 4, verse 17, it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, having given themselves over unto lasciviousness." And by the way, that big word just means a strong sexual desire. That's what lasciviousness is. The Bible says they have given themselves over to it. They run after it. Given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now look at the last phrase. But ye have not so learned Christ. You know what the Apostle Paul was telling the Ephesian believers? Since you've been saved, God expects something different out of you. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We have divine enlightenment. You know the things that you and I used to do before we were saved? Today we look at those things and we just abhor those things. You say, man, I'd never do that again. Well, praise the Lord. Why? Because of divine enlightenment. God has enlightened our minds and given us understanding about what is right and what is wrong. You say, what is right and what's wrong? Open up the book. Yeah. Amen. Read the book. Find out what the Bible has to say. And then, not only is it a life of divine fellowship and a life of divine enlightenment, but it's a life of divine peace. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked, the Bible says in Isaiah 57:21. But the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 13 and 14, "And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." He's given us peace. He's given us peace. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, Colossians 1:20 says, peace. Psalm 23 and verse number 4, peace because we have been forgiven. Peace because of divine companionship. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." I remember when I was a freshman in high school, I was about the same height as I am right now and about 115 pounds. I know that's kind of hard to imagine. 115 pounds and about 5'10". Actually, I was so skinny, if I stood sideways and stuck out my tongue, I'd look like a zipper. I mean, that's just how skinny I was. I remember I was in track, and I had a friend of mine that always was there for me. And there was a couple guys that were on the football team. They were about 6'4" and about 275 to 300 pounds, big guys. They decided one day they were going to flush me down the toilet. So they grabbed me and turned me upside down and started heading towards the commode. I was going to get flushed. And I thought, help. And one of my buddies saw what was happening, and he was a scrapper. He made them put, he was probably only about 150, 160 pounds, but they had respect for him. And needless to say, they dropped me. Literally, they dropped me. I was so glad he was there that day. Amen. As skinny as I was, I might have went on down. I don't know. But here's the thing. When we're in trouble, it's wonderful to have someone that you can count on. And when you are in trouble, as a child of God, it's so wonderful to be able to have the Lord that you can count on. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And that means, listen, when you go to the doctors, thou art with me. And when you get a phone call in the middle of the night about your kids, thou art with me. And when trouble comes your way, thou art with me. He said in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You see, we can have peace because of divine companionship. In Christ we have life, therefore we produce fruit. In John chapter number 15, verse number 4 and 5, he said, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. You know the rest of the verse? For without me, ye can do nothing. You see, life with Christ produces fruit. This is a result of abiding in Christ, verse number 4 and 5. This is the purpose of our life. In John 15, verse number 8, it says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. That's why God has us here. I mean, if all he wanted to do is just save your soul, then as soon as you got saved, he'd just take you to heaven. But he wants you to bear fruit, to glorify his name. Life without Christ, not good. Life with Christ, what a blessing. I want you to notice the path of life. The path of life. Today, if you don't have that life that the Bible talks about, there's a way to get there. Amen? And those of you that know Christ, you know the path because you've already gone down it. And I want you to notice verse number 7 through verse number 10. Notice the path of life. We've looked at life without Christ and life with Christ, and now the path to life. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. Notice this. Through Christ Jesus. The path to life is through Christ Jesus. It's not through the Baptist church any more than it's through the Catholic church or the Methodist church or the Lutheran church. It's not through some type of organization. It's through Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not through some good deed that we might do. People think, well, you know what? If I get my baby baptized when they're little, then that's going to cover them. If baptism could get us to heaven, whether as a baby or as an adult, if baptism could get us there, why did Jesus have to die on the cross?
Right.
Amen? Amen? You say, well, you know, I'm just going to do the best I can. Well, that's wonderful. We all ought to do the best we can. Amen. But if you're trying to secure heaven that way, if you're trying to secure forgiveness that way, Jesus said, if any man climbs up another way, the same as a thief and a robber. He said in John 10, he says, I am the door to the sheepfold. Jesus Christ is the door. He's the door of salvation. Verse number 7, it's through Christ Jesus. Look what it says in verse 8. Verse 7, because of his grace we have life. Because of his grace we can have salvation. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not how many good works you do, not what church you belong to. It's not how much money you put in the plate. It's not whether you go to the mission field and you die there telling people about God. It's by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, a gift, number one, has to be given. Is that true? God did that. Amen? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God wants us to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because of his grace we have life. Someone once, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. Grace can be defined as receiving something that you do not deserve. Mercy can be defined as not receiving what we do deserve. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter number 3, because of his mercies, because his mercies fail not, we are not consumed. Because of God's mercies, the judgment of God hasn't fallen on us, and he hasn't cast us all into hell because of our sin. Thank God for his mercy. Amen. But grace, he gives us what we don't deserve. I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve answered prayer. I don't deserve a place called heaven. I don't deserve forgiveness. But because of Christ, because of his grace, salvation is available for whosoever will. Let him come and take of the water of life freely. Because of his grace, I have life, and because of his grace, I have salvation. Because of his grace, listen, I have purpose in my life. I have purpose, real purpose, purpose that makes a difference. A lot of people think, well, you know, I've got purpose. I joined the NFL, or I got purpose. I'm playing for this major sports team. Yeah, and what's going to happen in 5 or 10 years? After they trade you off, and then all of a sudden you go to the minors, and then they just say, see you later. Verse number 10, we have purpose. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. If you are saved, you are created in Christ Jesus. But not just created to be created, but created for a purpose. If you're saved, God has saved you for a purpose. Now, I want you to stop and think about this. Are you saved today? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? If you are, then God has saved you. He has created you for a purpose. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Good works it does not save you, but good works glorifies God if you're saved. Amen? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk there in them. This passage of Scripture talks about life without Christ. It talks about life in Christ. It talks about the pathway to life. It talks about the exceeding riches of His grace. It tells me that every believer is rich. If you're saved, you are rich today. Therefore, our focus should not be on our past, but what we are right now in Christ. There was a man by the name of John Newton. John Newton was the writer of Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. There is a marker where he lies over in England. And the epitaph says this: John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was, by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the gospel which he had long labored to destroy. What a great epitaph. I heard a story about a dad that was trying to read the newspaper one evening. And his young daughter interrupted him, said, Dad, I want you to look at this. She was just doing everything she could to try to interrupt her dad, just wanted his attention. So he took a moment. He says, I got something I want you to look at. He took part of the newspaper. There was a world map on it. He tore that out. He got a pair of scissors and cut it up in a bunch of pieces. He says, here, put this back together. She looked at it. Okay. She went and got some scotch tape. About 3 minutes, she had this thing all put back together. He thought, boy, I'm going to get rid of her. I can read the paper, you know. And about 3 minutes, it was all put back together. He says, how in the world did you get that map all put back together so quick? She says, oh, Dad, that was easy. On the back side of that globe, on the back side of that map, there was a picture of Jesus. I just assembled the picture of Jesus together, and the world was all right. And you know what? If we'll just have Jesus put together right in our life, the whole world will be right, including your life. Do you have a rich life? It starts with knowing Christ. It's fulfilled by living for Him. Let's bow forward to prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God loves you so much. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be forgiven. He wants to have fellowship with you. The problem is sin separates us from God. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift has to be given. God did that. But a gift has to be received. That's your responsibility. What are you going to do with the gift of God? Are you going to receive it? Or are you going to reject it? Father, I pray, Lord, that you bless this invitation, Lord, this time of meditation when we think about your word. Lord, help us to respond, not only in our hearts, but Lord, help us to respond to this invitation. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray, Lord, that they come to know you before it's eternally too late. Guide and direct.